Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a city councilor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee, but we're meeting on a Thursday night rather than our traditional Tuesday evening. I'm going to take a minute to introduce my colleagues and staff. I'll go over our protocol for the evening. We're going to get right to work. I apologize for being slightly tardy. To my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Next to him is Councilor Jeb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. To my right is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor at Large from Ward 6, Vice Chair of the committee. I know that Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor at Large from Ward 8, will be here in just a moment. And I expect at least one of our other colleagues, is running late. To my far right is Robert Waddick from the Legal Department. Next to him is Michael Gluba from the Planning Department. And next to Mr. Gluba is, will be back in a moment, is Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. So the way we work is, for those of you who are not familiar with the land use process, I will call up each petition in turn. I ask that the petitioner make a brief presentation. If your petition seems fairly routine, i.e. one that the planning department seems to have no issues with, I see you're welcome to speak for really up to about 15 minutes, but I really urge you to say less. I've always learned that when you're on the winning side in something, less is better, and so I encourage you to do that. We then will hear from the planning department, which will provide a brief overview of issues that we may need to look at. I will entertain any comment from any member of the public. Public comment is welcome and indeed encouraged. Very simple requirements. I'll call you up. You come up to the podium. You state your name, your address, and I ask to keep your remarks about 3 minutes or less, just to make sure that others get an opportunity to be heard as well. There will then be questions and comments by members of the committee, and then depending on the petition, we will either vote on it this evening, in which case it will be, if it's approved, it will go to the next full board meeting for final approval of the full council, or we may hold it, and if we hold it, we will take it up again in February. Ms. Khan, which date are we holding in February for continuations right now? February 14th, Valentine's Day, sure to make our significant others all very happy on this committee and staff that we're going to be here and not at home. With that said, let's get right to work. So the first item is 308-16, special permit to further increase the non-conforming setback at 759 Kenwood Avenue, Ward 6. There's a request to withdraw this petition without prejudice. Do I have a motion to approve the request for withdrawal? Councilor Schwartz, so moved. All in favor of approval without, of approving the withdrawal without prejudice? Five in favor, none opposed. That petition is withdrawn without prejudice. Next, I have 428-16. A special permit to allow parking within 5 feet of a street in stall depth at 113 Edinburgh Street. There's Natalia Tarakova. This is at 113 Edinburgh Street, Ward 2, Newtonville. Good evening. Would you make sure the microphone's on there?
Hi, my name is Natalia, and this is my husband, Alexander. We have a brief PowerPoint.
Do you have a PowerPoint? Is that okay?
Sure. Do you have, if our clerk can be happy to get that to you.
Thanks.
Go ahead, whenever you're ready. Let us know when you're ready. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
All right, this is us. You can go to the next slide, please. So our house was built in 1870, way before, obviously, the invention of cars. So there wasn't any need for cars or planning for driveways and such. So we've tried to find a spot nearby to rent. The public lots that are overnight, there's nothing near our house. So we pretty much want to build a driveway in our front lawn. Next slide, please. So the issues are the front lawn gets destroyed because we park on there right now because there's no winter parking on the street, so we have to hop the curb and park on our front lawn. So that gets destroyed every winter. Doesn't really come back to life during the summer. Considering the look, it's not really appealing to us, to our neighbors, to anyone who's visiting, or anyone who wants to sell or buy a house, to see something like this when they're driving by. So we're proposing to make this look much nicer. One of the pictures not there. So we want to use pavers to make it look nice. We want to add like windowsill boxes to add decorates, and so it doesn't look like there isn't enough greenery there. Next, please. So is there enough space? So we've measured all the cars. There's space between where our cars end and where the sidewalk begins. We could do the next one too. And we even asked a full-size SUV to park in there, and it's a little dark, but there's even with the SUV parking there, there's still space between where the SUV ends and where the sidewalk begins. Next, please. So there are frontage concerns that there's not enough, there won't be enough greenery in the front lawn, and there's a requirement that there's a certain amount of greenery that needs to be there. And so there's some greenery to the right. There's a nice, beautiful wisteria plant that's going over the doorway arch, and we're proposing to add more pots and plants to make it look like there's more greenery. Down the street, there's a house that has absolutely no greenery in front of it, that is completely asphalted, and they actually have a driveway. They had a full-size driveway in addition to that. We don't have an ability. We have like 3.5 feet on one side and 5.5 feet on the other side to put any sort of driveway in our lot. We've talked to multiple neighbors, and a lot of neighbors would be ecstatic to see an actual driveway there and not like a messed up front lawn. Next, please. So yeah, that's us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't I hear from Mr. Cleaver first? We'll then take public comment, and we'll entertain questions or comments from committee members.
The reason the petitioner just explained the proposal. Again, for two parking spaces in the front yard, so it would be substandard size, it would be 9 by 15 each. Conventionally, we like parking spaces to be 9 by 19 as per the ordinance, and the ordinance also requires a 5-foot buffer between the parking space and the street. So the request of the roof is to allow parking within 5 feet of the street and to raise the minimum floor depth, plus the required special permit under 7.33 of the ordinance. The committee seems to consider these issues in granting the special permit whether the site is in appropriate location for these two stores, whether the stores will adversely affect the neighborhood, whether they will create a nuisance or serious hazard, and whether access to the street is appropriate for the types and number of vehicles involved. In our section 3, this is required basis, and this is criteria shown here. This is the minimum compliance requirements that no person serves within 5 feet of the street is impossible and his measure used location size for depth shape or grade of the rock, or its exceptions within the public interest, in relation to safety, or the protection of environmental features, and are shown concerns and criteria applied to weather to vary the requirements to restore service 19 feet in depth. This background is a GIS map showing the site in yellow, showing the neighborhood. Trying to join with the most consumer residents, multi residents, and some public use. The public use includes our playing fields, some nearby schools, and some other uses. This shows the buildings and the grounds. Again, showing a mix of residential, some new commercial, public use, and parking. Here is the site plan as it presently exists, showing the house of Evandale to the left. You do see how the lot widens towards the back, and the minimal space between the house and the side wall lines, which make a few feet in size, of a range of 35 feet roughly. This is what's proposed, showing the two proposed parking spaces, and you can zoom in a bit here. And again, showing the two parking spaces with a total of 18 feet in width. The two spaces 9 by 15 feet each, and there's no gap between the substandard spaces and the street. And combined, the 18 feet of frame would represent about 72% of the frontage of the lot. Some additional photos of current conditions. This is from Edinburgh, looking straight at the house. This is from the side, looking towards the one lady. And then from where the clouds would fit. And this is the view from the other perspective. And that's all we have to know.
Thank you. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, sir, please. Good evening. Just state your name and address.
Thank you. Robert Krause, 166 Edinburgh Street. I live a little further down the street. And as Mayor Cohen reminded us the other day, it's the longest dead end in Newton. Historic fact. Several of my neighbors, four neighbors, actually asked me to come here. And we're not direct abutters. We are further down the street. We are all against the possibility of this being granted. It's extremely ugly to see cars or asphalt in a front yard. It would be a dramatic mockery of the zoning code of the city to have zero setback for parking in your front yard. It would lead to a further industrialization of a residential area, which I don't think is the intent of the Garden City that we live in. It would be a terrible precedent which other parties would try to copy. Right now, their cars, a BMW and a Honda, stick out several inches over the sidewalk, which is less than 48 inches. There are people sometimes with a daycare next door, that's about 2 doors down, that has three or four kids being pushed at a time, and sometimes wheelchairs, and snow is even worse. I did print out the MLS documents when they purchased the property, and it clearly states garage space is zero, parking space is zero, and under disclosure on the top page, buyer is to perform their own due diligence, no curb cut for parking on the driveway. So they clearly knew that this was not going to be a place where they could park their cars. So I request that the committee fulfill their duties and deny this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else who wishes to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Councillor Crosley, all in favor of closing the public hearing, 5 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Let's have questions and comments from colleagues. Councillor Crosley.
So I can understand why the petitioner frustrated by not having nearby parking. However, for me, this is not about greenery or putting some window boxes in the front of the house. This is purely a safety issue. The house on the lot, yes, it's old, and you're right, that's why cars weren't planned for. But to have a substandard size space and ask for relief from the setback from the street, which is normally required, it doesn't go with it. I couldn't support this. I think it's a, although you show some compact cars in the front yard, just barely touching the edge of the grass and so forth to the sidewalk, it would be, I think you said there's 15 feet. I see a dimension of 13.4, but that must be to the landing, I'm supposing, of the front steps. So even if you have 15 feet, it's very small, and it would take up an enormous amount of the frontage of the house and interrupt the sidewalk for 72% of the width of the property. That's just too much, in my opinion. So to me, this is a matter of public safety. And I have to say too, I know there's no law against parking in your front lawn or on your front lawn. But I don't think it's legal to jump the curb to do that. So I just want to put that on the table.
Thank you, Councilor Crosley. Councilor Cody? And we've been joined by Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Councilor from Ward 4, and a member of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So a question more for planning.
Sure.
We have the dimensions of the proposed driveway. What would be the dimensions of a parking space, say, in Cypress parking lot?
Well, under the zoning ordinance, a parking space should be 9 by 19 feet, and be set back at least 5 feet from the street.
The parking stalls, I think, are uniform. We have, at times, shrunk the width at 8.2, 8.5. I think we did that for Austin Street, for example, I think 8.6. And we have, at times, in interior, my recollection is in interior garages, gone down to maybe 18 feet, or maybe even a little bit smaller, is my recollection. Colleagues can correct me. Dedicated compact spaces in a garage, but otherwise, I think garages, interior garage typically done 18, but that's an interior lined garage with turning areas and all the other accoutrements.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the reason my question was, I understand the situation that, you know, knowing that off-street parking is a huge challenge. Has planning worked at all with this to see if there's any way they could accommodate? I know it's extremely limited.
Given the limited space, there have been options. Remember, we did discuss others in one space. It would be better than two, but we found it very difficult to see what an appropriate modification would be.
So they would be seeking a curb cut for the entire width, basically, for the two stalls?
Well, the curb cut would need to be 18 feet for this. You know, one side would be 9 feet, roughly. But we do look at this situation, so I think how else could this be accommodated. But it's two spaces in the front yard of a very narrow property. So it would need to be absent.
So I understand exactly what they're trying to do here and everything else, and given the space, there are a lot of limitations. I mean, you kind of get it to fit against the house. You don't necessarily want to carp against the house, but I understand we do that all over West Newton, the lake, everywhere else. And also the sidewalk issue, I don't really have a big issue with parking like in that direction because number one, it's an asphalt sidewalk, so it wouldn't be a big expense to cut that and work on it. But then the other thing is, if it becomes an issue of blocking the sidewalk and the neighbors are concerned about blocking the sidewalk, that's what the police can come by and ticket it. That's not a big issue of enforcement should the car encroach upon the sidewalk. That was just my opinion on that.
Well, I'd be reluctant to burden our police department with that kind of level of enforcement. Can I, before I get to Councilor Schwartz, can I just ask a quick question for you, Mr. Kaliba? The measurement of the sidewalk
the edge of the sidewalk, is the space, is it to the literally the edge of the house?
From the back of the sidewalk, I think the sidewalk is 16 feet, so there's about a foot between the parking space and the front of the house.
And, sir, ma'am, is there like a window well where that basement area is? Is there some kind of opening there? You're telling us that window is flush. There's no window well. You know what I mean by window well? Is it kind of an opening underground? And when you measure it, is it? It looks to me like your siding and even your shutters extend a little bit out from the house. Where are the measurements taken from? When you say there's 16 feet in total. From the cement.
Yeah.
From the foundation. I mean, at least to me, visually, it looks like the first floor, whatever the siding is, extends out at least, I don't know,
several inches.
I mean, I'm just trying to understand the configuration here. Go ahead, Councilor Schwartz.
I'll get it one of these days. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for planning and then question perhaps for the petitioner. So in its current use, we saw some pictures, two cars on the lawn. Is that legal?
As far as I know, you are not supposed to hop a curb. And you need a curb car to access property with a vehicle.
So I guess my question is, did this come to us because there was a complaint? Can they answer it?
Well, they can answer. Why don't you come up to the microphone if you would, because we just need to make sure that we're recording. And I neglected to mention that we are being audio taped for our proceedings. Forgive me for not mentioning that earlier. Go ahead, please.
Despite the neighbor's comments, this is the first time we're hearing about any sort of issues with us parking over the curb and over our front lawn. This was completely 100% our own initiative to build a driveway because we ourselves don't like the way it looks and we like living in Newton. We work very hard for it and we just want to make our front lawn prettier and make it easier.
But when you bought the house, you knew there was no parking.
Yes, we absolutely did, yes.
Yes.
So the answer to the question is there wasn't a complaint that led you, you weren't like told by ISD that you had to get a special permit for this?
Never from anyone.
Okay.
And our closest neighbors, we all talk to them, and they're all very supportive of this.
And I guess the other question for the petitioner, and then I have another question for planning. Have you considered, I'm sure you have, but I just want to hear it, like for example, your neighbor, it looks like they have a bigger parking space right to the left of that fence. Can I just finish my question? Have you explored trying to rent a spot in any other of your neighbors' parking driveways at all?
We tried, and we actually, the reason we bought the house in 2013 and this is 2017, so it's been several winters. The house to the left of us just got sold to new people, and we used to park one of the cars on their driveway because we could work out a situation like we could work out our schedules because we still had to tandem park. The new neighbors, however, are not open to that, and the neighbors to the right, they only have two spots, and the house up front is currently for sale and they only have two tandem spots as well, so it's very limited options around us as well.
So up until now you're able to manage at least one of the cars by parking in the neighbor's driveway?
Correct, yep.
Okay. So that's helpful. That helps explain to me why we're at this point now. Question for planning. So I think you tried to answer this, but I didn't quite understand the answer. If it was, South Dakota's question. If it was simply one car in the front setback there, how would they? Could they configure it in a way that it would be in line with the ordinance or? Would they have to come in sideways somehow or diagonally? Because it sounds like the depth, if it's only 16 and the sidewalk is 4, they're never going to be able to do it. But if they did it diagonally in one and it had a curb cut, would that be possible or is it not possible?
If the car was parallel to the street, that parking space would be 9 feet wide.
Yeah.
You would only need a 5-foot buffer to the street. So at that point, you're right at 13 feet from the street.
Yep. They have to come in from the side.
House tuning.
They couldn't come in from the side because there's that fence there, but if that fence weren't there, I suppose, is what we're saying.
But then they need to share their neighbor's garden.
Yeah, I guess I appreciate the difficulty that the petitioner's having, and I would love to try to help them come up with a solution, but I just don't see the dimensions allowing it in this particular case. And so I'm really torn. I'm trying to figure out. I understand your predicament, but I mean, you know, when looking at the issues for consideration, is the site appropriate? Is it, will it not adversely affect? Is it creating nuisance? I think all of those, unfortunately, are not met in this particular request. So, you know, I appreciate your comments, Councilor Cody, trying to figure out a way, but I think if the car is going to protrude into the sidewalk, if it's not going to meet the requirements, I just don't see us making this work. So I think at this point, unless I hear differently, I'm going to have to vote against this.
Anyone else want to comment? Councilor Harney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I had to work late at my real job this evening, and I missed this discussion. So I won't comment on what Alderman Crosby said, but I'm going to abstain this evening, but I am very familiar with this, but I would like to review some of this before I vote.
Fine. So I have to share my concerns that I heard from Councilor Crosby and Councilor Schwartz. I want to help you out. I mean, you have a situation, admittedly you bought in knowing it. I think there's differences if you didn't know something and you knew what you were getting into, but we do want to encourage people to try to park off of the street. The difficulty I'm having is I just can't see how this is going to work from a safety perspective, and the fact that you're parking on the lawn, if you're not supposed to be doing that, and what I'm hearing from the planning department, and probably need to back that up from the legal department, is you're not supposed to be, that's why we have curbs and curb cuts. The curb cuts are supposed to be where people enter into their driveways or whatever. The curbs are designed so we don't have vehicles crossing over the sidewalk. I'm having a very hard time trying to support this because if I look at the configuration of the cars, no matter what you do here, they're at best right next to the sidewalk. And I can only imagine what it might be like in winter when you have a little bit of snow. No matter what you do, you have a public safety issue with people being able to walk safely on the sidewalk. That's why we have 4-foot wide sidewalks so people can walk safely there. So I'm just having a real problem with trying to help out here. And I'm sympathetic to your plight, but, you know, we sit as a quasi-judicial body. We're supposed to be like judges and apply certain criteria. And it's difficult. We certainly sympathize with your plight, but we are supposed to act judiciously and follow the ordinances for special permits, and they require us to make some findings that personally I'm having a hard time doing. So, Councilor Lipoff, anybody else? You want to ask me? Okay. I'll accept a motion here if someone wants to make it. Do you want to make a motion? All right. I have a motion to deny the petition. Let me be really clear with you. We're going to vote. If it is denied here, it will then go to the full council next time we meet. If you get denied in your entirety, is it a 2-year period before you can reapply? Is that correct, Mr. Waddock?
I believe
so. So you'd be barred from coming back again for the same petition. I'm not sure circumstances are going to change, but I want to explain that to you. So with that,
you will need to make findings to vote a denial.
All right. And do we have draft findings for that?
Well, we have the criteria you're supposed to consider, and you can find those in the negative.
Why don't we have a motion by Councilor, you can sit down, folks, if you'd like. We have a motion by Councilor Lipoff
Can you take us through some draft findings here?
Sure.
So we would have to essentially find in the negative that the site is not an appropriate location for two parking stalls in an MR1 district. I'm not sure we can make that finding. I mean, the site, is it saying this particular site is not appropriate?
Yes. That,
okay.
Yes.
Pardon?
So that property, where they want to put those two spaces?
I think we need to be more specific then on that finding, which makes it clear that the lot, the site with the proposal for where they're putting the parking stalls is not appropriate. Is that a fair conclusion, folks? And the parking setbacks? I think we have to mention that. Yes, Councilor Schwartz?
Just a comment. I mean, I'm struck by the reason why we're having a little trouble with this is that we just don't usually deny.
We usually don't.
And I was just, I'm just raising that as a point to the petitioners that, you know, that's because we almost always can find a way to help you out. So I don't know if you spend a lot of time with the planning department, talk to, you know, architects or whatever. I mean, if there's any way you can foresee, if you feel like there are any additional thoughts that you have that you think you could make this work, I would encourage you to withdraw it right now, or we could hold it, and you could come back. But if you have no interest in doing that, then unfortunately we're going to have to act this way. So I just want to make sure that you understand that, because as the chairman said, there's a two-year bar if you do get denied. And it is unusual that we can't help you out.
Thank you, Councilor Schwartz. We've been joined by Councilor Jack Ockenfoss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, Councilor Crossley.
So I'd like to expand on this a little bit because I'm aware that there's a two-year sort of blackout period unless we were to find the circumstances substantially changed. Unfortunately, on this lot, the way it's currently configured and with the very limited space you have, the geometry just isn't working for you to have parking in the front of the house. If something substantially changed, such as you were to buy an easement from your next-door neighbor, you were to, crazy thought, but if you were to move your house back on the property, I mean, if other things were to substantially change, it might be more likely to buy an easement for your next-door neighbor, then you certainly could come back to us because
sure.
We could find the circumstances substantially different and you'd have a new opportunity. So I don't know that it's worth holding this.
I'm not inclined to unless the petitioners say that. But why don't we go back to the findings? The second one is the two proposed parking stalls will not adversely affect the neighborhood, and I think our finding would be that they would. And they would be for the reasons we talked about earlier, which is that you're parking right next to the sidewalk. This is not consistent with what other lots do. Councilor Schwartz, do you want to say something?
Okay.
The third is the two proposed parking stalls would not create a nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles or pedestrians. And I think our conclusion there would have to be that they would create a nuisance or serious hazard to pedestrians because they are interfering with or impede the ability to cross the sidewalk reasonably safely. I don't think the last one would be applicable here, unless others feel differently. Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
I do apologize, but I just want to ask planning one more piece of information. Michael, do you know the distance between the actual neighboring house to the right and this house? I know the setback is only 8 feet. It's, well, I guess 5.6, but... Is there 9 feet between the two houses?
There might be. I don't have that measurement. I mean, the house is pretty similarly situated on the lot. If you go back...
Put the picture up.
You can see how tight it is.
Yeah.
Can
I ask the petitioner, do you know how much distance there is there? And I'm sure you considered that total between the two houses. So the other house is really right on its line.
Folks, you need to come up to the microphone.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, but I just got to make sure we have a back and forth that's recorded.
Yeah, I think actually part of the house is a little bit on our property. So we're right there.
And where do they park?
They have on the right side of their house, they have a driveway, a tandem, that's where they park.
And they haven't been able to accommodate you in any way?
No.
They barely have space for two
cars. For two cars, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, I think we have a proposed order, and we do have a motion by Councilor Lipoff. All in favor of voting to deny the petition? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor of denial. Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? I have 2 abstentions, so it's voted to deny. Just, again, your decision, but I've been advised by our legal counsel that you have the right to withdraw without prejudice at any time up to the time we take a vote in the full city council. I leave that to you to decide. I don't want to tell you what to do. And what I would urge you to do is to talk to the planning department maybe in the next day or so, and they can try to see if there's some way they can help you creatively try to come to some grips with the situation. Okay? Thank you very much, folks. All right, next, please, we have 429-16, special permit to amend, special permit 284-16 at 7-9 Ellendale Terrace. Good evening, Attorney Morris. Folks, there's no, you're welcome to stay, but no need to. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry, of course. Ms. Kine will get that for you. Good evening, Attorney Morris.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road, Newtonville. And I'm here representing Mr. Common Fugazzato of 7 Arundel Terrace. We were here before you some months ago, Mr. Chairman, successfully having obtained a special permit to obtain relief from FAR. And I think the planning department memo spells it out. There has been a change to Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 48, Section 7, which now renders the additional requirement to go to the zoning board moot. And so we're here actually to have that condition removed from the previous board order.
Very simple. Mr. Gruber, do you have anything to add here? I think we're familiar with the order.
Actually, no. I mean, we have a presentation that goes through the project, but
I don't. I mean, personally, I unless anyone else wants it, I see no need for it. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Councilor Crosley. All in favor of closing the public hearing? None in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have any questions or comments from my colleagues? Go ahead, Councilor Crosley. Okay. I think this is, seems to me, this is really straightforward. The only condition was you had to get a variance. Now you no longer have to do that, which is good for you. All right, we have a motion by Councilor Crosley to approve. Do I have a draft board order?
You do?
Or do I need one? I don't think we do, because all we're doing is omitting some language about the requirement to go for a variance. Is that accurate?
Yes. We do have findings, but they're related to the overall project. You are just deleting.
Seems to me we're just amending a prior order, and if all we're doing is amending a prior order, all we have to do is take out the requirement that they seek a variance. Isn't that, Mr. Waddick, does that make sense to you?
It does, but I believe the I believe they just adjusted the findings to account for the encroachment that's being allowed now. I believe they slightly tweaked the findings.
Well, I'm looking at our materials. Almost no change to the findings, and then a change to the condition which required variance approval. I think that's it. Am I missing something?
So the one change to the findings was that the proposed garage would be more in keeping with the neighborhood than a carport.
Okay, so you want us to add that as a finding?
First thing I tell you, yes.
That's actually my suggestion, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
We reviewed it today.
Okay, does anybody have any concerns with that? All right. Yes, Councilor Schwartz?
Just want to clarify it maybe with Bob or Michael. So in the executive summary of the memo, you say that second paragraph, Board Order 284-16 contained a condition requiring the petitioner to obtain variances from the ZBA to encroach upon the side and rear yard setbacks and legalize the lot coverage and open space requirements. So now, the amendments to Chapter 40A, do those address the setbacks and the lot coverage and open space requirements, or are they simply saying that the carport is non-conforming and is allowable because it's been there for 10 years? It just seems like the language... I'm ready to follow your lead. I mean, I'm not going to parse this, but I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. But the variances were because the structure was deemed not already allowable non-conforming, so those setbacks had to be approved, but now that it's considered allowable non-conforming, if the setbacks are okay, we don't have to approve those?
Not quite, Councilor. What it's saying is the structure was non-compliant. Now under the law, it's non-conforming, and it's subject to local zoning.
So it's a special permit request.
Local zoning, now they need forgiveness for the non-conforming setback.
So we are, if we act tonight on this, we're not just taking away the requirement that they go to the ZBA, but we're also allowing the non-conforming setbacks.
Yes.
Which we didn't do in the previous order.
You didn't do it in the previous order because you're requiring them to go get a variance. And now they don't need a variance, but they need the special permit.
So weird said, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it seems to me that they do need an actual positive action by us, saying that the setbacks are okay, not just they don't require a variance. But on the one hand, you would say you need a variance for those setbacks. Here we're saying, okay, you don't need a variance, you need a special permit for the setbacks. Did we give them the...
No, I don't think you need a special permit for the setbacks. I think that's what we're hearing. Am I right? Or am I missing something?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilor Clark, I'm sorry.
How I read this is that the new state law overrides our process here. So that the new... Because the structure has been in existence for more than 10 years, that's how I read the report. And maybe what we should just simply do is cite the state law.
So I guess we should say the setbacks, the rear and side setbacks, and open space coverage requirements are not required in this case because it's a legal non-conforming structure under the amended law.
I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know that we need to say all of that. There's a state law that is telling us.
Yes, Attorney Morris, you want to maybe guide us?
You're a former land use chair. You should be able to help us out here. I hope you'll find it helpful. In my letter to James Henry Schwasser, I basically laid out the rationale. And it says that, essentially, the variances are no longer required, but the previous council order contained a specific finding. Remember, this is a Section 6 finding.
Mm-hmm.
A specific finding, and I quote, that the proposed increase in the non-conforming structure will not be significantly more detrimental than the existing non-conforming structures in the neighborhood. You've already made that finding, and encompassed within that finding is relief from the setback, the open space, and the lot coverage, in addition to the FAR that you expressly called out previously.
So you think we're covered the way with the draft as is?
I'm sorry?
You think we're covered with...
I do. Sorry.
Why don't we... Can I make a suggestion? I really would prefer we not wordsmith this evening. I think, Mr. Waddick, if it's okay with you, go back and spend a little more time on that just to make sure we're protecting ourselves here. We try to address Councilor Schwartz's concerns. Is that okay, Councilor Schwartz?
So I don't want to get in the way of progress at all. So I can just abstain and we can deal with this, you know,
before the...
Well, it, I mean, if you have some language that you want to put in there, we'll try to deal with it right now, because I'd rather try to move this along and get a vote.
I'm just looking at our conditions, and it was at the end of 2, it was 2D. No building permit shall be issued pursuant to this special permit until the petitioner has obtained variances from the Board of Appeals for waivers of the rear and side setback, lot coverage, and open space.
And that goes out.
So, what's that? So
2D would be stricken. Yeah.
Right, but I think that the zoning memo, if I recall, and it's not part of our packet here, but the zoning memo had said that there was...
There's a zoning memo in our packet, zoning review memo.
Where is it?
It's right after the two charts of the location. It's about two-thirds of the way through.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the letter. I apologize.
It says we can, the language is render these violations nonconformities, which may be rectified by a Section 6 finding from the City Council.
All right, so I'll have to stay in while I understand this a little better. That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to... Do you want me to put this on subject to second call, or Mr. Waddick, are we meeting next week?
No,
we have plenty of time. If you could maybe get a draft order to us sometime next week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, particularly so Councilor Schwartz can take a look at it, that would be very helpful. No, go ahead.
Just again, in the zoning memo, this is what I thought I remembered. It says, a special permit was granted to allow for an FAR that exceeded the maximum allowed by right. However, the structure still violates the side and rear setbacks, max lot coverage, and minimum open space requirements. The changes to 40A, Section 7, now allow the applicant to rectify these violations through the special permit process with a finding from the City Council. So we do have to make that finding. Unless we already did, I guess is what he's saying, we did. So if we did make that finding, I don't think we were really thinking about that.
Well, I think we said in our findings the proposed increase in the FAR is not in derogation of size, scale, and design of the other structures, and the proposed increase of the structure is not significantly more detrimental. Are you suggesting we need a third finding?
Yeah. I mean, Bob, do we not need to say in our finding that the side and rear setbacks and open space requirements are not significantly more detrimental than the existing nonconformity? Or no? And I'll stop there. I apologize for delaying things.
You know, why don't we do this? I really would prefer that Mr. Waddick not be doing this on the fly. It's not fair to him, I wouldn't want to be doing it, put it that way. So I think it's a very apt comment. You'll take a look at it. You'll circulate it. I think I speak for my colleagues that the intent here is to approve. We just want to get the language right. So I do have a motion. Was it Councilor Crosley? Was it your motion to approve? So all in favor of approval and subject to a crafting of a careful board order, 6 in favor, none opposed, 1 abstention. All right. Thank you, Mr. Morris. Mr. Morris, Attorney Morris, it might be helpful, too, if you communicated with Mr. Waddick in the next day or two and just try to, let's get the language right. But you know what our intent is. We want this to go forward. All right. Best of luck. Thank you, sir. All right. Next, please. Okay. We go on to 430-16. Special permit to change a non-conforming use of 15 Southgate Park. Anthony D. Pasquale, this is 15 Southgate Park, Ward 3. Mr. Morris, it's a full employment night for you. Are you here for the last one as well?
I am.
You are going to have a long night. Why don't you tee it up, and I'll remind my colleagues that we had this petition in a different form before us a couple of years ago when it was not approved. As my memory was, it was a 4-unit project that was not approved. You're now coming back with a 3. So when you present, if you could do it in that context, because I think perhaps with the exception of Councilor Auchincloss, we are, because I think that was before your tenure, the rest of us are, you know, I think quite familiar with this parcel. Just go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, for the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road, Newtonville, and I'm here representing Mr. Tony DiPasquale, Sweet World LLC, owner of the property at Southgate Park. As you correctly point out, Mr. Chairman, we're here before with a different proposal, 4-unit proposal. We've now reduced the density by 1 unit, approximately 25%, and we're here to basically present the some of the better characteristics of the development, I think, which are pointed out in the executive summary. It's all contained. I call your attention back to the page 2 of the report that is the reason why the planning staff supports the project, and that it will preserve the proportions, substrate, and architectural details that contribute to the significance of the structure. You may recall that the picture on the screen that we see that shows an addition that was put onto the front back in the 1950s that totally destroys the look of the building. We are going to take that down and restore the look to the 1920s a look that was captured on a postcard that was part of our original proposal. That is one reason why the Historic Commission, in reviewing this, voted to allow us to go forward and present this matter before the full council. We are, in fact, as the planning staff points out, this petition will greatly improve the site by taking a site which is now 69% lot coverage due to building and asphalt, and essentially reversing that percentage by putting virtually all of the parking under the building accessible by a drive on the south side of the property. In addition to that, we do have 2 spaces on the site, one on either side, north or south of the building, and those spaces are intended for short-term use and visitor use, and they're there for that reason, to basically provide someone to pull in off the street and not park on the street. There is a suggestion, and I should respond to that, in the planning department's memo, that we eliminate the one on the north side and combine it with the one on the south side and combine it with the one on the north side. We are not inclined to do that. We have been in communication with our neighbors, and you may recall that initially we had proposed the entry to the garage on that site, and I think the neighbors pointed out their concerns about the fact that Northgate Park is in fact a cut-through for people trying to avoid Pleasant Street, and also there's a confluence with Adena Road that creates the potential for hazards. So we did not want to basically put that second parking space on the other side. Plus the fact we have units on either side of the building and one in the middle, and these basically are most accessible for that purpose. I believe that's it, Mr. Chairman, really, because of the preservation of the building, providing significantly more open space, improving the site. With a 3-unit proposal, the density at lot area per unit is consistent with the neighborhood, and for that reason, we respectfully request that you would approve this petition.
Great. Thank you, Attorney Morris. Mr. Gleba, again, we've seen this before, so you can take us through the salient, perhaps different points.
To the question, believe that he's familiar with what he's seen before. Currently, non-conforming clubhouse units are multi-family dwelling, rotating parking in the setback, allowing 2-way entrance, and there's a drive less than 20 feet wide. These are criteria to consider. The legal compliance with our parking requirements criteria. Whether or not it's in place or in the public interest to waive those requirements, whether the proposed use will be substantial or detrimental,
whether this site is an appropriate location for the proposed additions, whether the multifamily, in this case, three-room dwelling, is developed and operated by the adjacent affected neighborhoods, whether the reason for housing to vehicles or pedestrians, and whether access to the site is appropriate. Then this includes the site with existing structure. This is the site plan from the building and the parking access, as discussed, including the parking spaces the planning department recommended being used. The wiring of this location. The elevations to the building. Again, the side elevations and the landscape plan. So we have another array of observing around the back. And to maintain, and again, maintaining this narrow 3-unit building.
Okay, let me just get public comment first. Any member of the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir, come on up, please.
Hi, my name is George Jaffe. I live at 45 Southgate Park, and before I begin, I would like to publicly thank Ms. Kahn for sending over the my email earlier today. Thank you very much. I appreciate your efficiency. Anyway,
we have a superb clerk on this committee. Go ahead.
Well, a couple of us drafted a letter, and all of the members got the letter through her efforts, and I thought it was a little bit late because I only sent it to her earlier today, but she managed to get it out. So, again, thank you. Basically, the letter takes you through some of the history of this, and it's as was pointed out by you, Chairman Laredo, and also Attorney Morris. You know, originally this was a 5-unit structure reduced to 4, and then now down to 3. But the original neighbor's complaint was really twofold. It was not just the size of the unit, which we felt was not appropriate for the neighborhood, but also the whole idea of the underground parking, which whether it dumps out onto Northgate or Southgate, dumps out onto very, very narrow streets, unlike any other underground parking situation in Newton. So that's the body of the letter. Our concerns remain. We appreciate the developer reducing the units to 3. That's great. But the underground garage and the ramp going out onto Southgate remain for us as a safety issue. And I found it ironic that previously today there was a lot of mention made of a safety issue. We're talking about parking in front of someone's house, and I would urge the committee to use that same diligence to look at this proposal and look at some of the evidence that we've provided. Southgate Park is a very narrow street. It, as well as Northgate, it is a cut through from Waltham Street to River Street and Cherry. The cars do come down there, and the way the plan is proposed, we think it represents a safety issue not only for cars but for pedestrians. We haven't seen anything about any sort of detailed plans as to what is going to be done to address that safety issue. So for us, that's the second issue, and it's still to this day it remains as an issue for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Sir, come on up, please.
Hello, Tim Durkin from 15 Northgate Park. I'm going to speak on behalf of myself, my wife, and our neighborhood group, who's given us some input. We view this as a vastly improved project and as a compromise, which I think is a result of the work that this committee has done, in particular Jim Cody, as well as the full city council, including Lenny Gentile, and also the developer and developer's attorney, Terry Morris, who reached out to us early on in this process to get neighborhood input on changes and to try to reach a compromise going forward. You know, three units is a much better number. The neighborhood never asked for an underground garage, but we understand that's a preference of the city planning board. Our biggest concern has always been the safety of what the underground garage is. You know, even the neighbors on Adina and Northgate Park are still concerned. You know, the fact that it's been shifted to Southgate, you know, we still walk along that route with our kids to go to Wellington Park. You know, we've talked with Ms. Attorney Morris about that, and you know, with the at the top of the screen, you know, our understanding is that the driveway is going to be significantly closer to like a 4%, and then a flat grade at the very top, and also that the shrubbery will be lower on the front end, so there'll be some visibility, and on top of that, just lowering the number of cars to six in this. To six in underground garage, and they didn't show what the schematics of that garage looked like, but when it had eight cars, it was almost unworkable. There was, I think, 7 or 9 point turns to get out in and out of the garage, and under this design, it looks like cars would be able to freely pull in, completely turn around. Cars won't be backing out of this driveway. It'll be easy for them to turn and pull out, and it's less likely to have, you know, backups as far as cars coming in and out. So we think that's vastly improved, and we're going to, you know, like you say, vigilant, but this looks like a much, much safer option. And I think, you know, as a whole, the neighborhood, you know, as we said all along, we wanted to work with the developer and get something built here that works for everybody, and we think that this is going to be it. This is much better than some of the alternatives that have been proposed by right or otherwise. So all in all, you know, we're in support of the project and we look forward to working with the developer and making sure that this underground garage is as safe as possible. But, you know, thanks to all the city councilors who helped.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to be heard on this petition? All right, seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilor Cody? Motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 7 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have any questions or comments? Councilor Auchincloss, do you want to say something?
Yes. First, apologies, Mr. Chair, for being late. Work kept me. I was also going to ask about the driveway into the underground garage. I drove by this area. I know this area a little bit. And I was trying to picture it, and I can't picture it, and I couldn't picture it from the plans. How does it actually work? Maybe we can get, like, a Google map.
Well, maybe Attorney Morris, you can walk us through. Is it different than what you proposed earlier?
Well, it's not different, Mr. Chairman, but I think we may have not as clearly articulated the benefits. I think Tim, in his comments, opened that discussion. I'd like to point it out for Councilor Auchincloss, who was not here before. This is actually the third petition that to come before the, not on this site, but other sites, where we use underground parking to enhance the open space above grade. There were two projects, one on Adam Street and one on California Street. Those were like first and second iterations of this approach. This is actually the third iteration, and it is the most improved. I think the neighbors at the time were comparing this to those. And it really, the comparison fails for some reason, for this reason. The slope on the driveway is actually less than the slope on those other two projects, but more importantly, as Tim pointed out, we come to almost a flat area here where you're able to come to a complete stop as if you were basically on on-grade parking, so that you're fully visible two cars coming up and down the street, and you can see cars coming up down the street. To enhance that visibility, we basically cut the landscaping back to this area here so you have a clear sight line of cars coming in this direction.
So can I stop you for a second? When you pull out of the garage, How far from the sidewalk will it be where it becomes level or nearly level? How many feet?
12 feet, I believe. 12, 14 feet.
Okay, so 12 or 14 feet from the sidewalk, it's level.
So you'll be, you're basically front end of your car, you'll be back of sidewalk, but right. The entire car will be essentially at grade plane.
Before you reach the sidewalk?
Yes. You won't be at this. On the other two sides, if you were at this and you came up, now you'll be like this.
So somebody coming up before they get to the sidewalk will be completely level and will have a level field of vision as it were.
Correct.
Right. And I take it the shrubbery, you're committed to pulling it back and making it lower?
We actually have. We pulled it back entirely. There is no landscaping from the back of...
Whoops. Lost something.
There is no landscaping from the back of sidewalk here. That's where the shrub ends.
Okay.
And the shrubbery itself is basically low-lying to achieve the same purpose.
Councilor Auchincloss, did you want to ask a follow-up on that?
No, I mean, this is a tired building. I think this is a great improvement.
Councilor Schwartz, and then, I'm sorry, Councilor Cody first, and then Schwartz, forgive me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Get that pump, Councilor Schwartz out there. I just wanted to add to it, George and Tim spoke some great words about the project, and I know Attorney Mark had reached out to the neighborhood prior to this, and I had conversations with both gentlemen about the good and bad of all of it. And one of the things that was concerned with this developer in the past was his track record as far as keeping the property clean, following regulations, et cetera, like that. But I think we have a good handle on keeping track of that now, and I think we know what to look out for. This project here, I think most of us know, was a lot of work last time. The neighborhood was very involved, very active. The originally petition came in for 5 units, but it would have been 10 cars underground. And not all the units were accessible from the garage underneath to the upstairs, which would have meant a lot of people may have been incentivized to park out front and then walk in rather than go into the garage. So this change now is that everybody can enter their units from the garage, so there's no need to actually park out front to run up to the unit from the front. That's correct.
That's correct. There's direct access from the garage to all 3 units.
Right. And in my conversation with both Tim and George, George's concerns are definitely a safety issue as they come out, and that's the one thing that we'll definitely have to pay attention to. And I know Attorney Marsh is on top of that. So from the perspective of the ward side and the councilors, we're in favor of this. We asked for 3 units. We got the 3 units, and the neighborhood is understanding of that also. And to George's point, we definitely want to watch the safety issues, how it pulls out, and it, just keep an eye on that piece.
Right. Thank you, Councilor Cody. Councilor Schwartz?
I just wanted to follow up on, I guess, your question about the sight lines. And
sure,
it looks like on the site plan, I understand, Attorney Mark, you represented that the right side of that, as you're entering the driveway to go down into the garage, is pulled back. But it looks like there's a tree on the left side that maybe... Have you guys considered that particular most outlying tree, whether that's also in the way of the sight line?
We have no landscaping on that side of the driveway, and I don't believe there's any existing landscaping that would impede the view.
So your laser pointer is right on a tree, no? Right there? Yeah. Is that...
That's
how
back
far
from
back
the
from... How far back from the street?
Yeah.
10 feet from
Ron Jarrett, the architect here who did that landscape plan, tells me that's set back 10 feet from the street, from the back of the sidewalk.
Mr. Porter, you've got to come up to the microphone if you folks are going to say something.
So you don't expect that to be a sightline issue because it's going to be, branches are going to be higher than the cars.
Exactly. It's a deciduous tree, so it has a branch structure, but no, it's not a conifer.
No, we can willow.
No.
Okay. All right. That was my concern.
All right. Okay. Colleagues, any other questions or comments? Councilor Harney?
Yeah, just on behalf of my colleagues in Ward 4, Councilor Gentile, Councilor Sangiolo, and myself, I really sincerely hope that the developer will take his job of keeping the site clean, obeying everything, all of the inspectional services. We've had a really difficult issue, and I think Attorney Morris knows, and the developer knows, on Colgate Road in Lower Falls.
We've had call after call, email after email of complaints. Last week there was equipment that was still in the roadway when a snowstorm was coming. So I hope he will obey all the rules he needs to obey on this site, because there were problems the last time we dealt with this site.
Councilman, I will personally communicate that to my client, and I'm not involved in COVID. That's a by right situation, but I will stay actively involved with my client to make sure that happens.
You've had a constant flow of complaints, and I hope Mr. DePasquale will take care of things at this site.
Okay. All set otherwise, folks? All right. So do I have a motion to approve? Do you want to say something, Councilman Schwartz?
Well, I just want to make sure that there is going to be an opportunity at some later date, perhaps later in this meeting, perhaps during our conditions, to talk about the preservation and what exactly that's going to involve. I don't know if you want to talk about it now.
I think that's a good point. Why don't we bring that up in the context of the board order,
right,
so we make sure that what is getting, what we're being told is getting preserved is actually being preserved. I think that's a concern.
Right. Thank you.
Well stated. Yes, Councilor Crosley?
Thanks. I guess I know that there's been a chronic concern about safety at the street from exiting the underground garage, but honestly, I think, you know, since all the cars are going to be able to turn around and nobody would be backing up that driveway, that would be a tremendous inconvenience at best. Why would anybody do that? I think your sight lines are actually better then if you find yourself needing to back out of the driveway. These small spaces in the front have perfect visibility. It shouldn't be a problem. But there are many other driveways in the city where you're along the side of a house or whatever, and you have to back up the whole way. So to me, I guess I'm not seeing this as a safety concern specific to how this is designed. But there, you know, you can't prevent people from driving badly, but, you know, I think it's a good design.
I'd add there's always a tension. You do need to provide on a lot of this size parking, and so the question is, do you put six or eight, you know, open parking spaces above ground with six or eight curb cuts, or do you try to put them all underneath? And there's a tension there. And there's not necessarily a right answer, but there's certainly a lot to be said for putting them out of sight, single entrance, fewer curb cuts, much more open space as a matter of public policy, and frankly, overall safety. That seems to me actually probably better in the circumstance, but it's an admitted tension. Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
You mentioned that the curb cuts reminded me that the memo did talk about the planning department proposing that you put the two surface parking spots together to minimize the curb cuts. Did we hear an answer to that?
I think we heard the petitioner say they didn't want to do that, that they wanted to service them one on each side. But
can planning address that response?
Sure, Mr. Gleeber, you wouldn't eliminate the amount of, you'd have a wider curb cut if you had two parking spaces, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you have one wider curb cut, but one fewer. So there's a balance there between having one less interaction in the curb and the sidewalk, but the price is have one bigger one.
And this is a it strikes me this is a pretty large, if this was a lot where you had curb cut, small space, I could see the argument, but here, they seem to be, they're pretty far apart. Seems to me actually makes more sense to do it the way they're doing it. I mean, does planning feel strongly about this?
No, the second thing is that they are both located on curves, so we have two curves being affected. You know, like I said, there's a trade-off between two conditions. I would like to say strongly one way or the other. I think it's sort of a great discussion.
Okay. Yeah. Do folks feel strongly about it one way or the other? I'm not seeing any of that. All right. So do I have a motion to approve? I closed the public hearing, correct? I did. All right, thanks. I was here too, but I'm sometimes I lose my train of thought. Councilor Cody, motion to approve? All right. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Kleber?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
So these are the proposed findings.
And you have the second one in red. Is that different than...
I believe that is a difference from the
prior one?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we just take a moment to go through, as we usually do. We can read the first one to ourselves and just make sure we're comfortable with it. Everyone comfortable with the first one? All right, two, three, all set with these, folks? Okay, why don't we move on, Mr. Kleber? Anything on four, people? Pardon? Sure, of course, I'm sorry. Can we go back to four? I think the concern of Councilor Cody is that they were the same or similar. Could you turn it to four again?
Yeah.
So I think four is adversely affect the neighborhood as opposed to not substantially more detrimental. I think we need to have the other stuff in there.
Cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Where, what line again? Why don't we say consistent? Okay, that's fine, Mr. Kleber. Can you take that word more out in line two?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what?
What was inserted is red.
Yeah, it says more than the existing.
More than the... Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying it'll be more consistent with the neighborhood than the existing use. Maybe we ought to leave it. You're saying... Well, what here is saying that the proposed use is more consistent than what's there now. That's the finding.
More consistent with the neighborhood.
Because it's an adversely affect standard. Don't we need to have a finding that doesn't adversely affect the neighborhood?
Yes, because you're only going from one non-conforming use to a different non-conforming use. So you have to find it's not more.
The new use is consistent with the neighborhood. It won't adversely affect because it is consistent with the neighborhood. I just don't understand why we're referring back to something that isn't anymore.
Do you think it's going to be consistent as a three-family in a otherwise one- and two-family district?
Well, the use. The use is a residential use, right?
It's residential.
All right. So you're saying that the use, the dwelling, is the use is the same as the residential. Okay. I can live with that. Can we make a change, Mr. Kleber?
Sure.
Okay. All right, let's go on to five, six, and seven. Okay. Any other questions on those, folks? All right, why don't we move on if we could, please? Is number two the language that Ms. Anant developed for us for preservation?
The service developed with AHC as well, for Katy Holmes.
You may or may not recall, but in addition to at Sumner Street, 28 Sumner, which we had back before us a few weeks ago, we were concerned that we weren't putting in sufficient language. So is this language here consistent with what we're now recommending we put in?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Waddick, have you reviewed this language?
Did
Ms. Young?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, I'm going to urge the legal department to review this language. The whole purpose is so we avoid what we had on Sumner Street. Councilor Schwartz want to add to that?
I guess it's just a question for the petitioner's attorney. What is their intention, and have they done any studies of the structure to make sure that they can abide by this condition, or are they going to come back saying, well, we intended to, but we can't?
So, Attorney Morris, we're going to put you on the spot a little bit. Not your fault, because you didn't have, I don't think you had the last one that caused us all this concern. But the question is, have you done some studies of the building to confirm that you can preserve it?
Yes.
In other words, you're not going to be coming back here in 6 months saying, the roof's in terrible shape, the sides are in terrible shape, we have to basically raise the structure.
I can guarantee you that will not happen. He's already done it. He's already got permits to do extensive demolition within the building to expose those kind of elements and make that determination.
Okay.
So he's made that determination.
That is correct. He's only basically proved to live this because he loves the building and wants to preserve it.
So
sorry about this, but yeah, we need to be clear. Go ahead.
I want to be clear because I'm going to ask Mr. Wattis to work with the planning department to make it crystal clear that if that is not the case, you're going to have to come back here for an amendment and a special permit. I think that's our intent. Is that correct?
I think we'll have to change the language then because it says ISC can allow it.
I don't think ISC should be able to allow it.
Allow what?
I mean, if our intent is to preserve a historical structure, I think we want to make sure that if you're coming back, if you can't do it, you've got to come back.
Can I just ask?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are you planning to do anything to the basement? Obviously, you're putting a lot of parking down there. Are you going to replace the foundation? There's nothing like that going to happen here, right?
No. It's going to happen. He's going to break the basic for the retaining wall to get down into it. But
sure.
The foundation is the existing foundation.
And the support.
It's not going to do what some people do when they basically lift the structure up and demolish the field stone foundation and put a new one. That's not going to happen.
Okay. And then the actual support beams, I know that's a big part of this that you're trying to preserve. You don't intend to replace those support beams.
I can't answer that question. I don't know. I'd be talking off the top of my head if I tried to answer that question.
Thank you.
Councilor Clausley?
We'll
be joined by President Scott Lennon, Councilor at Large from Ward 1, President of the Council.
So I'm just, with Councilor Schwartz's questions, I'm just curious, is it a fieldstone foundation?
I'm sorry, what?
Is it a fieldstone foundation?
No.
It's not.
I don't think, is it?
Really, from that?
Ron tells me it is.
I would think so.
I'll have Ron comment.
So are you pouring new inside the old?
No, it's a combination of fieldstone and concrete. There are concrete portions of the foundation. There are fieldstone portions. Fieldstone portions are fine. The concrete is acceptable. We are breaking a hole, obviously, through the backside of the building to allow the entrance for the garage. We're putting a floor in. It's at a different height than the floor that's there now. We are adding some steel support beams under the beams that are already there to stabilize the floor above. But our intent is to preserve the structure.
Okay.
We got recently a little surprised by some demolition that was done on another street. And just to be clear, because I think a lot of this is about managing expectations, I'm guessing with a building of this age, you're going to have to reclad the building. When you use the word preserve, a lot of people might imagine that you're actually keeping a lot of what's there. And a lot of times, most times, in a building of this age and state of care, you would be replacing most of the exterior finishes.
Yeah, it's correct. It's called out on the drawings as well.
Okay.
It doesn't say... save the existing shingle siding.
Right. I just wanted to make that point for everybody's sake and suggest that I know you're going to take a close look at how this number two is written, but it says, in addition, the material shall consist of the materials approved by. So I think we want to make clear that the new exterior finish materials shall consist of those approved by, and then you figure out who's going to approve them. Because at some point, the building's going to be stripped of, it won't look like itself for a while until it's redone. And there's a recent problem we had in terms of what's expected during the construction process.
It's a very fair and good point, Councillor Crosley. I think, Mr. Waddick, if with this petition as well, you can circulate it to us by, say, the middle of next week, if that's feasible. I think you really need to talk to Ms. Young, Ms. Anand, Mr. Kluba, and let's make sure the language we're putting together for this is language that then works for other projects as well, where we have the same situation. I think we want to be cognizant of what Councillor Crosley said, but we don't want to have any surprises. I think I speak for my colleagues that the will of the committee is, if there is going to be some substantial change, it's not up to ISD. It's got to come back here. And I think that's a critical, I think that's critical to put in there. Is that fair, colleagues?
I'm not sure how we define substantial, but if I would think that the preservation planning department could make a call on exterior finish materials.
We had the problem last time is that planning and ISD said no problem, and we all sat there and said, wait a minute, that's not what we were told. So I think we have to have some teeth in it, but I do hear your concern.
I don't
want to
get so far into the weeds on details, though, because that's not our purview or our expertise.
Go ahead, Councillor Schwartz.
I just want to clarify my concern, which came from the summary discussion, and that is not that I have a problem with them taking off the siding, recreating it, doing the materials that are appropriate, but what I think we all felt, or at least most of us felt stung by at the last one, is that we thought we were getting a preserved historical structure, and what we were getting instead was a replication of a historical structure, and that's not what we're looking for here. So at least that's not what I'm looking for here. So if the structure has been assessed and it's being represented to us that the plan to retain the structure is actually viable, then I think we should make sure that that's what our expectation is. Make it clear that that's what our expectation is.
I think there's some drafting that needs to be done, quite frankly, and I think you're hearing what the conversation is, the intent. All right. Other findings that Mr. Gleed, anything here that would not be what you consider routine?
Just about one slide. There is something about fire suppression system.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on comments from the fire department. Also, for the non-standard, is just complying with the tree preservation ordinance.
Right. Okay, but anything else that's not routine?
If you go to the next slide. Landscape plan, O&M plan.
And the signaling has to be approved by planning as well, so we have some check and balance there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right. We have a motion to approve by Councillor Cody. All in favor of approval? I've got 7 in favor. Any opposed? I have 1 abstention.
Just abstaining, Mr. Chairman, because I didn't have the benefit of any of the presentation.
Fair enough.
Sorry for being late.
Best of luck with the project. Thank you, Attorney Morris. Thank you for coming in and speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Last for the evening is we go to 431-16, special permit to allow three attached dwellings at 77 Langley Road in Ward 6. Attorney Morris, this is yours yet again.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Okay.
Attorney Morris, can you remind us, has the site been raised?
Has the site been what, Mr. Chairman?
Raised. Is there anything on the site right now?
Yes, the site is... There's nothing on... There's no buildings or structures on the site now.
You've taken the existing building down, and we now have a vacant site.
Correct.
Nadia, are you going to change the things, or do I have a... Who has control over the... Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with Office of 57 Elm Road, Newtonville. And I'm here representing the petitioner on this project, the owner of the property.
Does the pointer work?
Oh. Okay. Great. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, at the outset, I just want to explain our purpose in making the presentation this evening. Our purpose really is to make the presentation and have the opportunity to hear from the members of the committee as well as the public. With the exception of one abutter across the street, we have not had opportunity to have extensive discussions with our neighbors, particularly the residents of the condominium association.
Mr. Attorney Morris, you have not had the conversations yet?
We have not had conversations with the condominium owners. We understand that there are several of them here.
I'm going to stop for a second. I mean, it's our practice, as you know, to urge developers. Is your client here, by the way?
Yes.
All right. It is our practice to urge developers, before they even come to planning, to talk to the neighbors. We certainly expect that those conversations have been had with the neighbors before you present here. So, I mean, we'll take this up this evening, but obviously, A, we're not voting on it, and B, frankly, I think it's a bit of a disservice to our time for those conversations not to have taken place in advance. It doesn't mean you have to do what the neighbors want you to do. That's not how the process works. But it's much better for this process if there's been some dialogue in advance. So, I must say I'm somewhat disappointed, Attorney Morris, that you haven't had that dialogue yet. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. What's happening here? No, not responding. Oh, there we go. Here's the aerial photo of the site. Proximity to to Route 9. Just south of the fort, you see encircled in red is the locust. There's the site, and we have this is a as the planning staff has pointed out, this is the development of this lot is been done as part of a larger master plan development involving three old lots on Langley Road. The first two were developed by right with two family houses. I have to use my own right. Here we go. This lot here contains will contain a two family house, as will this, and this is the lot in question. One of the benefits of this master plan concept is the fact that rather than have three existing curb cuts, as there are now, on a street that Langley Road, which is acknowledged to be fairly well-traveled connected to Route 9, one of the chief benefits is we are providing single access and treating this particular site as part of the entire development with access controlled at this single point right here. One of the other characteristics that has been pointed out is that there's a severe topographical change, 26 feet from front to back. As you can see from the topo lines, much of that grade change is at the back of the site. If anyone has had an opportunity to go out and look at it, you'll know that we back up After the base of that street site is the playground space associated with the Bowen School to the rear. The condominium I mentioned, 18-unit condominium, is here to the south. And then to the north, of course, these other two parcels that abut us here. Across the street, Planning report makes note of the fact that there's an extensive mix of land uses, both in terms of actual uses and zoning districts on Langley Road in the immediate environment. Attorney Morris, the other two parcels you've talked about, they haven't been built yet, correct?
They have not. Fittings have been made for in one of the...
They're by-right projects, so theoretically you can do whatever you want with those, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
This is the view from the site to the condominium property next door, taken from the point of view of where the building would be situated. I would point out that the condominium building itself is off-screen here, and this is the parking lot. So we would be dividing the parking lot of the condominium building. I would first note that there is actually a tool shed here and two dumpsters that are located in that corner of the building immediately approximate to our site. I say this because the planning staff obviously has talked about the size of the building and the 8.3 setback that is featured along that side of the property. Going back to the plan, you can see that that is right here. We have 8.3-foot setback. I would point out that by right, in an old lot, the setback is 7.5 feet. So it actually, if this were a by right project of two units, you would have a 7.5-foot setback.
But it's not.
But it's not. But we're talking context. On the other side, the staff noted that we had 9 feet, so we weren't particularly concerned about that because, again, it's part of a larger master plan development. With respect to the size of the building, I think it's important to point out several important facts. First, we are asking for an FAR of 0.46, where 0.39 is allowed, but I would again call the committee's attention to the fact that there is no FAR requirement for these special permits. Project that only applies to single and two-family houses. I also acknowledge that the planning staff over time has informed the committee of the by-right FAR in the name of establishing some sort of frame of reference or context. But it's important to note that the topography in the back significantly informs the size of the units themselves. And the FAR particularly, because of the 10,900 square feet that's located within the buildings, 1,700 is located in what normally would be associated with basement space. But because it is showing on the back side or the upside of this slope, right here, because it is facing the slope here, most of that wall is fully exposed and then requires that a certain percentage of that floor area be counted under our definition and formula for calculating. If you look at the elevations from the front side, you will see that actually, again, the average height of the structure, given taking into account the change in topo, is 35.5 feet, less than the 36 allowed by the ordinance. However, the site, the elevations from the front side, as they read from the street, are only 31 feet in height. So, the other thing I would point out is there is a typographical error in the planning department report. They cite the fact that there's 29% lot coverage when, in fact, according to the topographic plan prepared by VTC Associates, is actually only 20% lot coverage. So if you look at certain indicia of size and massing, whether it's the floor area ratio, whether it's the height of the building, whether it's the setbacks, I think you have to take them all into account and situate them on this lot. There's no question that the development of this parcel is problematic given the topography, but it is a 23,000 square foot lot. And we think, and as a result, one of the other indicia is lot area per unit. The lot area per unit is almost double the minimum requirement of 4,000 for this zoning district. And I think that should be taken into account as well. The fact that we're seeking relief on the lot frontage is, again, a function of the fact that these lots were created in 1951 at a time when the zoning ordinance didn't require frontage. It measured the lots by lot width. So as you see, I think the design of the building is not your cookie-cutter look. There's been a thoughtful approach to the roof lines and the massing of the structure. It's very interesting detail. I'm also informed by my client that, in fact, with respect to coming again back to the FAR and the look of the building, this is the look of the building from the playing field down here at Bowen. This would be basically situated at the top of the hill. And that's where the average size has increased because this basement is fully exposed. Now, I'm told that there is a significant ledge outcropping. Is that correct? So the client, as part of the proposal, designed space in this basement and included it, but it may very well be that that basement space may not be able to be installed because of the ledge. In fact, that would essentially reduce the overall height of the building, and it would reduce the FAR as well. It would probably reduce the FAR from 0.46 down to 0.43 or 0.42, somewhere in that neighborhood, if that were not installed. So, Mr. Chairman, I think really we've covered the context, the site, the difficulties of developing the site. I think the approach of having three units and particularly the master planning aspect, I think is significant. With me tonight is Mr. Joseph Porter, our surveyor and civil person, who has designed the retaining walls. There was also a comment about the size and location of the retaining walls, and I think it would be useful for Joe to explain how they function on the site in relationship to the topography that the site presents. Joe? This is helpful.
You can go to your zoning plan should be. Is the zoning plan on here? Yeah, the zoning plan. You should have your zoning plan here. Oh, basically. That's your zoning plan. Yep. Okay, so it's back and forth. Okay.
Joe Porter, VTP Associates. The basement, to get this building to work, we had several constraints in the back. We pushed this building back as far as we can into the slope, but given that there was some issues that we've had with the grading, the abutter here on the, which is the condominium property, is in excess of 6 feet from the current grade. We're raising the grade up to about 4 feet higher than it is in this area to accommodate not having to drop the building in to do that and give a relatively flat egress out to the street. From here to here, the grade change is only about 3 feet over about 75 feet. It slopes up 3 feet, whereas currently it slopes up in excess of 6 feet. So in doing so, we had to create a couple retaining walls in the rear here. At one point, we're trying to meet the higher grade on this side of the property and deal with the slope that slopes off to the Bowen School field. There are a couple retaining walls that we developed along this edge, and we terraced it in this area. The grade is flush here, and the retaining wall that we needed to build is here. There's one here, and also a secondary wall dropping down to provide a level surface in the back behind these units, so there's a area that they can use at the basement level behind the units and not deal with a slope that goes somewhere between 3-1 to 4-1, which is unusable for leisure purposes. We've created a minimal area here, about 10, 12 feet of an area that they can use as a patio type area. The grade goes from zero, the walls flush over in this corner, to about here is about 6 feet, but there's another wall here that is meeting the grade here. It's lower than this area, but this wall is, at the corner is approaching 11 feet. But it's a short wall, and there is nothing, it's actually behind the parking lot that is associated with the property next door.
It's an 11-foot high retaining wall?
Yes, height.
Point of information?
Please.
I'm finding it confusing following your dialogue on that plan. Do you not have the plan that we have before us is a site plan that shows the retaining wall?
Which one do you need?
Well, if you could be showing us, having this discussion with the plan that you gave us that shows the retaining walls and
there it is.
So if you could point to each retaining wall
okay.
and tell us.
Here is one retaining wall. This is the lower retaining wall. At the top of the wall is at the basement elevation. And then there's a short wall here that returns up to grade here. And it actually hits the slope from this property down onto our property. And the area that I'm talking about, the wall is 11 feet tall, is right in this corner. And it's only for a short distance because this slope slopes up very greatly.
11-foot tall retaining wall?
For about 4 feet. And then the slope is so great at about here, it's only about 4 feet tall.
So, Mr.
About 12 feet away.
Attorney Morris, let me ask you a very fundamental question. Your client controls what? 377, 373, and 367. 67.
And why not just merge those lots together and put in, you know, 3 2 families and be done with it?
He doesn't have to merge the lots, actually. He could have avoided this and just put a third two-family on this lot. However, he thought there was some benefit to creating a communal setting where you basically increase the access onto Langley Road from one location and provided a more attractive development.
Okay. All right. Anybody have anything else you want to add, Mr. Porter, at this point?
No.
Okay. Mr. Kaliba, do you want to give us a quick overview? Let's not go too far because I want to hear from the neighbors, frankly, and we're not gonna be making any votes on this evening.
Sure.
Just a quick overview will help us give us some context.
I could discuss it. Should I do the relief first?
Sure. Why don't you just walk us through what the relief is requested? But I think you have some basic objections, and we ought to hear those.
Sure. So just the context, the relief that's been requested is this list to allow a tax single family dwellings to reduce the front of the requirement, to reduce the setback requirements for a tax single family dwellings, to allow the retaining wall to step up or higher than setbacks, to allow parking within 20 feet of the side lot line, and to allow a driveway within 10 feet of the side lot line. The criteria of special permit criteria, having to do with whether it's an appropriate location for these dwellings, appropriate location for the retaining walls, whether it does or affect the neighborhood, whether it is housing or nuisance to vehicles or pedestrians, whether it's appropriate to the number and type of vehicles. The waivers include whether literally compliant with the frontage requirement is impractical because of the site,
and similar standards for the waivers for the stores for the side setback, the parking requirements, within 20 feet of the boundary line and within 10 feet of the side lot line. We can have slides from the context that are very similar to what we've been seeing. The area, the zoning map showing the mixed nature of the zoning, which includes single and multi residents, public use, and business. Again, the mixed land use, single and two family homes, as well as mixed use development and condominiums, and houses and apartments. This is where we're showing the view of the area plans, the base shells, the common streams of the street properties. This is showing the base shells for the use of the easement rates to provide the driveways, the three driveways to this property, will in fact be located on the property to the front. So it's a bit of a part of this. As Karen has mentioned, just to reiterate the typo in the 20 to 30 memo, the allowed coverage is not 29% or 30% is allowed, but as Karen has said, it is 20, the maximum of 25 is allowed, so it's still under both required.
Okay.
So we can see the numbers. Focus on the setbacks, because the setbacks in the zoning property, especially the 18-year condominiums to the south of them, about 7 feet, and just the size of the retaining walls, as was discussed. Again, part of this is being driven by the size of the structure and accommodating the third unit, and we do suggest in the memo that perhaps the petition should consider reconfiguring the structure or making it smaller so as not to include into the setbacks and require the kind of retaining walls system that this present design has.
All right, thank you, Mr. Kleba. Members of the public wish to speak. Can I just have a quick show of hands? All right. Why don't we start off on this side of the room, and then I'll go over this side. Come on up, please, sir. Just, again, name, address, and about 3 minutes for your comments, please. Good evening, sir.
My name is Mario Signore, and I'm your butter to 367 Langley Road. The reason I'm here tonight is that I had no idea what they were building next door to me.
Pardon?
I bought 367.
I'm sorry,
what?
Where's
the butter?
Oh, sir, could you say your address, please?
351 Langley Road.
351 Langley Road, and did you receive written notice of this hearing?
I received about this hearing.
Yes.
But nothing as to the plans or what they were doing next door.
So, I'm going to stop with that. Attorney Morris, did you reach out to any of the neighbors before you came here?
No.
All right. Go ahead, sir. We'll go on.
I came tonight because I had never seen anything that was going on. They've already started putting footings in, and I think one of the footings is actually on my property only.
Well, that's a concern, sir. I suggest you talk to the city about that.
Yes. I have not heard anything back.
All right.
And the other concern is he's looking at a communal look, and he stuck a 35-foot building, the back of the building, up against my property line. That's going to take away from the value of my property. There's 55,000 square feet here that he could develop. And as far as I'm concerned, the placement of the buildings on is terrible. A lot more could be done. And you could make the place look like the rest of the neighborhood with setbacks between the houses. He's got everything joined in, up against property lines. I don't understand what he's planning to do, but all I know is I object to it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We're not closing the public hearing tonight. When we take this up again, you'll have ample opportunity to speak again.
Okay, thank you.
Next on this side, please.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask Mark?
Yes, of course, Councilor Hahn.
Was he 351 or 361? I didn't understand.
51. There's no 361.
51.
351, is that correct?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there appears to be an undeveloped lot, which is numbered 361. It shows no house on it. He may own that land as well.
Sir, could you just come up again to the microphone? We just want to understand something. Fair question. Thank you, Councilor Crosley, for bringing that to my attention. Sir, just a point of clarification. You live at 351. Do you also own the vacant lot next door, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. You're a direct abutter.
I'm a direct abutter. Right. And I knew nothing of this. I sold property to these people. I'm the original owner of the three parcels.
Okay.
But it was nice of them to come by and show me what they were doing, especially where they have one of the buildings right up against my property line. In fact, I think if you go and look at the map, looks like one of them is touching the property line.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave that for another day. That's not what our special permit's here for, but thank you, sir. Anyone else from this side of the room? All right, next, please. I see three people in the back. Come on up. We'll do it in order. Come on up first. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Chris Masterman, 383 Langley Road. I'm owner of unit number one. Some of my fellow owners here, in the interest of brevity, maybe I'll just say this is Boris, unit number...
Boris Millman, unit number nine.
Good evening, sir.
I've been a resident there for over 20 years.
Good evening, sir.
Gennady Robin, unit number 11.
Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tatiana Zidazier, number 14.
Go ahead. Are you going to speak for all of them,
sir? For all of them, although we have a lot of the same things to say, but we are individual owners.
Sure.
We bought our properties collectively at different times with different expectations. So,
Mr. Chairman, can we ask the people to carry on a conversation outside? I can't hear the speaker.
I think the president just attended to that. He's got more power than I do. Go ahead, please, sir.
Thank you. As discussed, we have not been notified by the builder or the attorney, which is a disappointment. We're now here, and we're glad to hear that this is not going to be the last of it. I was going to name a few of the concerns that we have. You can stop me at any time. I won't go into any great detail.
You're welcome to go into as much detail as you like. Why don't you just lay them out for us?
There we go. One is the impact of the construction method for several weeks on end, all day long, whenever it's allowed. There's some kind of jackhammering going on with an excavator. I live in the unit that is the furthest away from the construction site. I'm on the opposite end, the south side, and I can hear it pounding all day long.
So I'm going to interrupt you for a second. That's not the topic of our petition, but we have a noise ordinance in this city. And if you believe they're violating the noise ordinance, the proper thing to do is to call inspectional services or the police department. Inspectional services will enforce that. Yes.
I was just curious. I thought you were going to ask him what construction is going on before we've approved any permit.
I guess that's a good question. Attorney Morris. Now, Mr. Porter, I'm going to have Attorney Morris speak to this, okay?
It's earthwork, though.
What?
It's earthwork.
What is going on at the site currently?
What is going on in the site currently?
Yeah.
They're basically preparing, they've got building permits to build two of the...
373.
They have building permits to construct 367, 373, the lots immediately shown on those plans.
Okay, and that's the jackhammering. Is there any work going on in the property that's the subject of this petition?
I can have my client speak today. He's right here. He's doing the construction.
Simple question. Is there any work going on the site?
Hello, my name is Luis Granado. I'm the developer. There's none work being done at 377 at any moment. We're only working on 373 and 367, which we hold building permits for. And as according to what we said before, the whole lot is comprised of a full leg. So in order for us to go with our building permit construction project, we need to drill those legs.
Are you aware of the noise ordinance in the city, sir?
Yes, we are, yes.
Okay, and you're complying with it?
Yes, we are, yes.
Okay. Councilor Crosley, I know there's a difference in construction. Go ahead.
Yeah, right.
I'm aware of that, but there's still a noise ordinance in the city, so...
but the jackhammering as a construction method is exempt from the noise ordinance as long as it's within the allowable construction hours.
Right. Well, you know, again, I think that's something that we're not, I appreciate the information. We're not going to get into the details of that here. If there's a concern about that, that's something for the special services. Why don't you continue, sir?
I'll continue. I had raised it partly in relation to the vibration that's going on because it's a ledge that I don't know if it's causing the retaining wall that was mentioned earlier, which is holding up our parking lot, to be suffering any kind of damage and falling apart and that kind of thing. For weeks on end, when you can feel it going all the way across the entire property, you begin to wonder if it's causing any deterioration in the foundation of our own building or in the retaining wall that's holding up our parking lot, the corner of which is 11 feet high. We have a general list of concerns with regard to the setback request, that it not be 25 but rather 8.3 feet. That's a lot closer than we'd like it to be, especially considering how tall 35 feet the building's going to be. The former building there was much lower and basically hidden behind the corner of the lot. Now the grade appears to be raising because they've moved a lot of the earth in the back there, and so I don't know if they're starting at the level at which the previous foundation was or if they're coming up from that and then going up 35 feet, so that's a concern. We're frankly concerned about whether or not we'll regain access to the steps in the back that lead to the school. There's what I think would be an easement that's been in continuous use since at least Boris, who's lived over here for over 20 years, has witnessed people going down this driveway and into the upper field. We're concerned about what the value, what this would do to the value of the property. And we also want details about the plan for garbage removal, if they're going to be using city totes, are they going to have dumpsters, is a cutout on the plan for parking spaces that could easily be converted to dumpsters literally on our property boundary line. We want to you know, have detailed answers about how that's going to work with snow removal as well. If they have any plans with respect to our retaining wall, if they're going to build right against it. It's not clear from the plans what the impact will actually be on the physical boundary for our property. I think the proposed plan shows that the driveway would actually be a lot closer. I think they're asking for some kind of exemption for that as well, that the driveway would be much closer to our property. So those are some of the concerns. I don't know if you want to mention any more.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, as to the issue that they were not notified, in fact, somebody at the construction site, and it wasn't me who heard it, but one of the residents in our building, where immediately when the demolition started, somebody from our building came up and asked whoever was on site what's going on. They said, oh, don't worry, the building, the footprint is going to be the same. You don't have to worry. So, hearing that information, we kind of relaxed and, oh, well, you know, same footprint, and they just want to modernize what was there. Then, a month or two later, we get the notice for the hearing, and we were flabbergasted to see what was, in fact, in store for us. And as Chris mentioned, you know, our own building was built on a site of the former Bowen School. So we still had the stairs that the kids used to access the field. And at least in the 20 years that I was there, and I know, you know, way before, probably since 69 when our building was built, that our own residents would cut through the next door to use the stairs to access the field and go to school. Not only was it much safer than walking, you know, along Langley Road and, you know, but it was, you know, it was never complained of. You know, nobody from, you know, whoever was the owner over those years never raised the issue, never blocked the path. So we feel we acquired that easement, and we're looking into the possibility of hiring an attorney to deal with it. But, and I think that should be also part of this discussion here, because until that issue is resolved, I don't think that our access should be blocked. As it was for the past
time. I don't think we have any jurisdiction, sir, to decide the issue of easements or not. That's not what we're here for. That's something you're going to have to
to consult with your own counsel on and get appropriate opinion as to what your rights are. But the information is helpful. I should be very clear. That's not something we
have to do. I just wanted to be on record, you know, saying that it is one of the concerns for us. As far as making the neighborhood nicer, I think it's quite the opposite. My own bedroom windows overlook that side of the property. And for the past 20 years, you know, I looked out, it was nice, leafy, you know, green, everything. You know, I couldn't see that house that was set back. You know, literally, I mean, I just heard people, you know, being there, never seen that house. With the new construction, I'm going to be facing those, you know, the mega mansion townhouses that will be towering, blocking the light. It's, you know, there, I mean, we have lots of trees in the back, and the north side is kind of, you know, darkish. And it's going to be much darker. As a result, we have puddles on a parking lot that don't dry because they don't get sun. So there's even less sun with 35 feet. Three units towering over them. So that's a concern. As far as our retaining wall, I'm not an engineer, but, you know, sitting in my unit from 7 o'clock in the morning, I feel this vibration like it's like an earthquake type of thing. I had a leak from the unit upstairs. The plumber went, and he said, most likely that was from the vibrations that kind of unsettled the pipes, and he said to expect more if they're going to continue. So, and as to the building not going on, excuse me, there is virtually no separation of the lots. So whenever, you know, the construction people come in, you know, they use, like it's a one big lot. And where, you know, noise and construction is going on, there is no way sitting here, you know, I can't believe that they might as well not do whatever they need to do on our side of this project, because I see them all over the place with, you know, different equipment. So I don't know if you call it a construction going on, if they just take, you know, big chunks of stones and, you know, take them out or replace them. But to me, construction is going on the whole three lots.
Okay, good. Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to speak? Come on up, please, sir.
I have to say that this is a little bit disappointing not to hear anything from the developers and see there's so much going on. I have to second everything that these guys said. We have a lot of concerns about retaining walls, about, you know, what it's going to do to the properties, to the values of our property. Also, they're saying that the benefit of a one common driveway is going to decrease the traffic. However, let me just tell you that now we have 3 townhomes right there.
Was it 373?
The property we're talking about. There's two more of those, and there's two more of those already set by common driveway. Now this looks like 3 + 2 + 2, that's 7. Probably with 2 cars altogether, all using this common driveway. If you look down south, this is our entrance. This is our driveway that we enter into our parking lot, and we exit, it's not on the map, but we exit on the other side. So we have this go through the pattern of the traffic flow. These guys, and let me tell you, lately is, you know, it's a pretty busy road, as you may well know. I'm not sure we really thought about what it's going to do for the flow between all these cars, potentially, you know, 7 more cars by 2:15 cars, at least plus 3 parking lots that they're going to add. You know, just I'll ask the community to think about this when you consider it. This is, you know, this is very expected to see all this development without actually being notified of all of this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else that wish to speak this evening, ma'am, you're welcome to come up. Again, I'm going to hold the public hearing open. There'll be an opportunity to speak. We'll take this up next time.
I'm Tatiana Tiriger from number 14 from the neighbor's building. I think there is a little...
I'm sorry, your name again, ma'am?
Tatiana Tiriger, number 14 from the building. I think there is a little fish and people discuss it. I would like to mention that we need to discuss safety issue for us in terms of returning home, because we are a little bit higher than them. If during the winter time we can, you know, if somebody sleeps from our side, so we need to understand and to know that it will be safe and nothing going on. So in terms of returning home, so we need to combine all conditions and just discuss how the returning home will be, will influence us, because we also have returning home on a different side of the parking. So I think we need to, and Attorney Morrison has agreed, so we need to discuss, we need to sit and discuss everything in detail, because we are neighbor and we need to understand what's going on between the construction and our site. We need to understand that it's not, the construction is not to compromise our building, sounds of our building and our structure.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else at this time? I see none. I'm going to entertain just some very brief comments or questions from my colleagues. I'm just going to go on record once again, Attorney Morris. We have been so clear in this committee about talking to the neighbors in advance of coming here. And we now are taking a considerable amount of our time in a petition where none of those discussions have taken place. I'm going to talk to my colleagues separately, but my inclination is next time that happens, we're not going to take the petition up. Period.
Can I respond to that?
May.
First of all, there are certain things about this petition that did not lend itself to the customary outreach. There's no active neighborhood association here at which point we could contact. So this is Ward 7, correct? This is Ward 7. There is no
Ward.
The Ward Alderman from this ward lives on the other side of town in Chestnut Hill.
This is Ward 6, Councilor Morris, and it's very simple for you. You've done this before. Your client's done this before. Knock on the neighbor's door. Say hello. We are developing. We'd like to talk to you. That clearly wasn't done here.
We certainly did not think it was a waste of the committee's time to basically hear the issues presented as we did in our presentation, and then to hear the reaction of people about their concerns. Had we had that meeting, they could very well have come with the same concerns and voiced them. Now we have the intervening time. We knew we weren't going to be voted tonight. We didn't expect it. We knew that we were going to have several weeks during which, after hearing this, having a comment, that we could work these things out with the neighbors.
It was an approach we had a different approach.
I can't be clear that we have stated explicitly on this committee as part of our good practices to talk to people in advance. Enough said. I'll let Councilor Crawford go. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I'm just thinking about information that would be helpful to have going down the road here. In general, I'll confess I'm concerned about the extent to which developers around the city are using retaining walls. I would like a lot more information on these retaining walls. I appreciated the verbal description, but frankly, it's hard. There's so many retaining walls on the property. It's a little hard to follow. I get generally what you're doing. I'm not clear about the retaining wall that separates your property from the condominium property. Apparently, there's some existing retaining walls, and now the grades are going to be changed from higher to lower, I can't even quite follow it. I'm struggling a little bit. So, you know, I'm a big one for site sections, if that's going to help. But I looked through all your drawings, and I didn't see continuations of the sight lines that would help explain what's going on at key locations. I think that would be important. I don't know if this is the case, but where you know, again, that retaining wall between you and that you're proposing between you and the condominium property, is the condominium property at one point looking at an 11-foot tall wall? No, it's going the other way. I would like to see some illustrations that clarify this. And then I would think some members of the committee and I would, with that information, go do a site visit.
Mr. Crosby, I think a site visit would be quite appropriate, but only when we're ready for it, and this is not ready for it.
Oh, fine. Well, for me, I would like this information ahead of going to a site visit to help clarify. I'd also like to look at the property from the back. It is, I have to say, I agree with the planning department. I see that there's a lot of attention that's gone into the design in terms of composing your design and making it interesting, all that sort of thing. Still, looking at it from the rear, it's rather massive. And I'm not convinced that a third unit makes sense on this site, given everything else that's going on, unless you were going to condense them and do it more of a townhouse kind of thing that would pull the buildings away, at least much closer to the side yard setback that's normal here. And about the ledge, this is something else that's been concerning me over the last couple of years. In particular, there seems to be a lot more aggressive site work done. Clearly, the market is allowing for that level of additional expense in order to prepare a site. But when I know that the noise ordinance doesn't apply during normal construction hours, but if you're actually creating tremors, that's the responsibility of the contractor to make good on. And I would call ISD in to take a look at this. I know that there's only a specific law that has to do with blasting, where you're supposed to take account of existing conditions within a certain distance from you prior to doing that. But other construction operations can have a bad effect on existing structures, and those should be cataloged and repaired if there's any damage. I can't personally make you do that, but I'm suggesting that this is something that we ought to get our inspectional services department to pay attention to if, in fact, you're really creating tremors. Earth tremors, you know, like when dinosaurs walk.
But I think what you're suggesting is that the neighbors who are concerned about the blasting ought to be calling the inspectional service department. They're open tomorrow morning. Suggest you give them a call.
To do that, but also, I mean, I think it's part of what you might want to talk about, with the neighbors. I don't know what's happening on the site. If there's an existing retaining wall and it's in a precarious shape or whatever, I think it would be wise for the petitioner to investigate the situation. So that's my comment.
On the committee part, I think I had Councilor Lennon. Did you still want to say something?
I just, for the committee's understanding, and I think I had mentioned this at another project, I just get concerned when I hear a lot about the build-up to abutting lots. I think I've mentioned this a couple times in this committee. We had a project special permit that we passed in Ward 1 a year or two ago, and even though it was noted on the plan, I don't know how well it was actually articulated to the abutters, and then once it was built, it was a real shock to the abutters. I'm not saying that's the case here. I just want us to be a little extra sensitive as we talk about this going forward, because there were abutting lots, and it sloped to the back, and they built it up so that it could be flat. One of the things I'm hearing, it wasn't something that the abutters were expecting. So I just want to be extra sensitive as we go through this with the petitioner to take an extra careful look at that as we're moving forward. For the committee.
Councilor Schwartz, did you want to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, there's a lot to say. But I think, I admire Attorney Morris for his service to the city, previous service on the board, and his service to his clients. But I got to say, I share the chairman's disappointment that you're bringing this to us in this state. As one of the three representatives from Ward 6, I just, again, would
offer our help in getting the neighborhood and you together. And I would just remind you that we're always available to do that, and we actually would prefer to do it beforehand, because, you know, I don't think anybody's welcome. You might disagree, and it's your prerogative to disagree, but my observation over the last 6 years is that the community's not well served, and I don't think the developer's well served by bringing in proposals like this without having had any conversation or outreach to the community. It's not a requirement. I understand that. Legally, you can do whatever you want, but I have yet to see a project where that's worked out well for the developer. It doesn't create good faith, doesn't create good spirit, creates all kinds of fear, anger, that we have to, you know, kind of walk back from. And to be honest, I mean, I'll just tell you the things that about this project that immediately raised concerns for me. One is, like the folks who've spoken, I have concerns about the mass and the volume in this area, especially the setbacks that are, you know, so close to the abutter. The particular property on that hill with the height that you're planning to put on it, especially with the field that many in the community use, many of the students and surrounding community uses for soccer games and everything else, to put a structure that's going to stand out on that hill, I think that you've got to be very mindful of the community's concerns about the cover that'll have, how it'll fit in. The fact that there's already been quite a bit of site activity, perhaps related to the other two projects, but involving this particular lot, again, this does not create a positive environment among the community that I think you should be mindful of. A lot's been talked about as the President and Councilor Crossley mentioned about the retaining walls. We're talking about some very large walls, how they affect that slope, I think is extremely important, and I'd like to hear more from our engineering department before we act on this particular petition. So there's just a huge number of concerns that I really think should be better discussed outside of one of our sessions here. So I would encourage you to work with the community, work with us. I offer you my help, and I'm sure that the other counselors from our area would be happy to work with you to try to get a meeting together, or probably multiple meetings, to be honest, from what I'm hearing, to try to start a dialogue that actually, you know, moves us forward as opposed to creating more obstacles for your client. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Anyone else? All right, I'm just going to associate myself with my colleagues, Crosley, Lennon, and Schwartz. I'll add, it seems to me all the relief, or much of the relief you're seeking here, and there's a lot of it, is of your own creation. You're trying to do a project that is calling for a lot of change. You don't have to do that project. You could do this much more simply, but frankly, this is not ready for prime time. And I'm not putting this on for another date yet. I will not put it on for another date until you've had extensive discussions with the neighbors. And then and only then are we going to reschedule this. Okay? So do I need a motion to hold? I have a motion by Councilor Schwartz that's in his ward. All in favor of holding? It's held. 8-0, this petition. What I'm going to ask is any member of the public who's interested in coming, being kept apprised when our next hearing is going to be, please do two things. Ms. Khan will get your name and email address. We'll try to email you. And second, I'm going to trust you. You're going to give your contact information to Attorney Morris so he can talk to you as well, and he will be reaching out to you. That will be the expectation. All right, with that, we are concluded. Thank you all.